You tuned in to the Kojo Nam, the show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Later in the broadcast, the future of local breweries, cideries, and distilleries. But first, last night, before a festive crowd, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi lit the Capitol Christmas tree in a ceremony that took months of planning. It began in July when the Capitol's chief arborist flew to New Mexico to choose the tree from a forest of candidates. But many D.C. area families haven't even begun to figure out where they're going to get their tree, when they'll put it up, and how they'll decorate it. Well, we are here to help with a panel of Christmas tree experts, people who know how to grow, pick and adorn them, and make sure they don't catch on fire. Joining me in studio is Jim Kaufman, Director of Capitol Grounds and Arboretum in the Office of the Architect of the Capitol. Jim Kaufman, thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
You were at yesterday's lighting of the Capitol Christmas tree, a tree that you personally chose. How did this job fall to you?
It's a great pleasure to have this job. And representing the architect of the Capitol to select the tree is a great honor. And I'm lucky to be able to do it because it's a big tradition for the Capitol that goes back to 1964.
Tell us about this particular tree and how you decided that it was the one.
So working with the U.S. Forest Service, they choose a region that the tree is going to come from. So I got to go out to New Mexico. And
it's a difficult job, but somebody's got
to
do it.
I'm here to help out. That's right. So it's a fantastic opportunity where I was able to travel to New Mexico and meet the folks from the U.S. Forest Service. And when I got there, they immerse you into the culture out there and tell you all about the traditions of the people and the topography of the land and what kind of trees we're going to see. And that really all impacts the way how that tree is set up for the Capitol.
You also pick a runner-up tree. Why is that?
Well, you can't be too careful. Mother Nature can be tricky. So I'm out there looking for the perfect candidate tree. And once I find that tree, we go through the whole list of candidate trees, and I look for another tree that may be on the other side of the national forest, which could be it's 3 million acres. So on the other side, in case there's some kind of natural disaster, or in case there's something that happens to the first tree, there's a backup just in case.
You call this tree a rock star. It goes on the road. It has groupies. Tell us about the tree's celebrity tour.
The tree is a rock star, so it's a chance where this tree brings people together from all over. So it's coming from a forest in a really small town and in a really small area. So it starts off with this grand celebration where in that town in New Mexico, and the tree is harvested and put on a tractor trailer. And from that point, it gets wrapped, and it starts to make over 24 stops, whistle stop tours, on the way back to the Capitol. And all these little towns where it goes, folks are able to stop and sign and get the pictures taken with it, and it gets a big following. And this is all what the program is about, is really showing the importance of our nation's national forests.
The Capitol Christmas tree is a rock star when it's on its way here. Why is it called the People's Tree?
Well, some people refer to it as the People's Tree because, as I said, it brings people together. And it's to celebrate the national forest. It's to really take the culture. So in this particular case, it was the Pueblo people that really celebrated the tree with their culture. They bless the tree before it was harvested. And then it's put on there. It's decorated by handmade ornaments that the children and people of the towns make for this tree. So that really makes it unique. It's not professionally decorated. It's not set up. It's decorated by our crew, which is awesome. And they love taking the time to be able to decorate the tree with handmade ornaments. And it's the personal touch that's put on there.
You say you're quite anxious until the tree is up and decorated. What's there to be nervous about?
Oh my. I'm a nervous person by nature, but thankfully the architect has a slew of people that are very good at what they do, and they help calm me down a little bit. But the tree gets put up, and from the time that we receive it on 3rd Street just before Thanksgiving to last night at 5:02, I was probably the most nervous person around.
Because you're suspicious that anything can happen. It can be wind, it can be fire, anything can happen.
Anything can happen to that tree. And from the time we actually start to unload the tree with a crane, the cameras are rolling. And we're working in front of cameras that are watching us do our job. But our professionals that are working with us are really good at what they do. So they get the tree up, and we had it decorated in record time, which was fantastic. And they worked through some heavy winds that we had, and the ornaments are all stayed on. The lights came on last night, right on cue. So it was just a wonderful event put on by a lot of different people.
And the whole point of this event was so that your nerves could relax.
That's exactly it. I got a plan for another trip next year.
Joining us now by phone is John Carroll. John Carroll grows Christmas trees on Claybrook Farms in Mineral, Virginia. John, thank you for joining us.
Okay, Joe, it's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
John, as I said, you grow Christmas trees and on your family farm, and you sell them to the public. What should people think about before they pick out their Christmas tree?
Well, I think, first of all, they've got to decide where they're going to buy their tree. And I think it's a family decision, usually, where they're going to go to a farm and pick out their tree. That's a gaining popular family tradition. Or go to a tree lot and pick out their tree, or go to a box store. It's usually a decision that's made by the family where to go. And then they've got to decide what kind of tree that they want.
How about if they decide to go to the family farm, to your family farm?
Well, I think that's the business I'm in, and that's what we really like to see, families coming out, building that tradition. We see families that have come for a number of years, and 20 years or more, and then when their children are in college, on college break, Thanksgiving, they come back to get a tree. So they come out to the farm, they decide what kind of tree that they want, and the great thing about a Christmas tree farm is every tree is not perfect. We have big ones, short ones, fat ones, tall ones, maybe one that is a deer has rubbed on one side and it's recovered. I would say every tree is unique. And then the family has to decide the species that they want. A lot of times they go by the tradition that their family has had. Usually if they're from the South, they like a pine that's got long needles. If they've been lived in New England or in the northern states, they usually like a spruce or a fir with shorter needles. So it's usually a decision based on that tradition that they've experienced in the past.
So, okay, once you find a tree that you like, how do you tell if you've got a healthy one?
Well, the first thing that I would look for is to make sure that the needles on the outside of the tree that are covering the tree this year's growth are fresh to touch. If you bend the needle, that it doesn't break, that it will bend. The tree will have some interior needles that may fall off. And just like any tree, they lose their needles, the interior needles. So that's really not anything to be concerned about. Of course, if they go to a Christmas tree farm and the tree is planted and growing, then it is guaranteed to be fresh. If they're on a tree lot, they'll want to look for those things that I just mentioned, as well as when they drop the tree up and down on maybe the sidewalk or the pavement, that it doesn't lose its needles.
Joining us in studio is Tony Falwell. Tony is the D.C. Fire Marshal and Deputy Fire Chief. Tony Falwell, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me, sir.
As D.C.'s fire marshal, dry Christmas trees are your nemesis. What do people need to know so their live Christmas trees do not become fire hazards?
Well, the biggest thing is that you want to make sure you, as the gentleman on the phone said, you want to make sure you have a fresh tree. And you want to make sure that the tree, before you place it in your home, you want to make sure you at least cut off about 2 inches from the trunk of the tree and place it in a stand. You know, I like to come from a code perspective on things. The fire code does require that you place the tree in a stand that's capable of holding it upright and that is capable of holding at least 2 days of water minimum. Yes. So the key is you have to make sure that that tree is watered daily and has plenty of water, because dry trees, as you know, they start fires. And I just want to say that each year, you know, fire departments run about 200 fires involving Christmas trees, and about one in every 32 of those fires result in a death, a fire death.
And people need to know that they can't simply go away for days and days leaving the trees unwatered.
That is correct. You know, if you know you're going to be, if you know you're going to be away, probably have someone, a home sitter or someone, check on your tree and water it. Another thing with the trees in the home, you want to make sure when you're placing them that you're not placing them too close to any heat sources that can burn. You know, the rule of thumb is about 3 feet away from any heat source. And the lighting.
How about lights? How do you make sure they're not going to ignite your tree?
Yeah. You want to check your lighting before you put them on the tree. You want to make sure you don't have any frayed or crimped wired lightings. You want to check, make sure you don't have any loose bulbs. And also you want to make sure some lights are meant for outdoor use only. You want to make sure you're using the correct lighting. And another thing, you know, you can daisy chain lights, you know, and we recommend no more than 3 strings of lights to be, you know, plugged together at any one time.
You remind people that a few years ago, one of the most deadly fires in Maryland in decades in Annapolis started with a dry Christmas tree. What happened?
Yes. It was a dry tree. A gentleman lost his whole, he and his family perished in a fire as a result of a Christmas tree. Unfortunately, the home or the mansion, if you would, was not sprinklered. And the tree went up so fast and the fire had spread it so fast they weren't able to get out and they perished in the fire.
And this was happened like the day before the tree was supposed to be picked up or something.
Yeah. Well, it was in there. The tree was dry. It was already in place and it was just a dry tree.
Many people don't realize that there are a lot of places where live Christmas trees are simply not permitted. What are some of those places?
Yes. You know, the code does say you can't have live Christmas trees in schools. You can't have live Christmas trees in places of public assembly, such as restaurants, theaters, and places of that nature, hospitals, nursing homes. Mercantile stores are not supposed to have live trees. Also, hotels are not supposed to have live trees. And places like that, they are allowed to be in apartment buildings in the individual units, but the hallway areas and the common areas of apartment buildings are not supposed to have live trees.
Here now is Todd in Falls Church, Virginia. Todd, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. I would like to urge a rethinking of how they light the Capitol Christmas tree at night. They start out with this glorious, majestic tree, and then typically they just shroud it with a complete industrial blanket of electricity. You can barely look at it as you drive by without getting blinded. So I just think with a more restrained and elegant treatment of how they light it, it would pay more respect to the beautiful tree that gave its life for us.
So you're suggesting that it shouldn't be lit at all?
No. Light it, but more elegantly. It's a uniform covering of electrical curtains of lighting. It's just too hard to look at. It's not even pretty. It doesn't even look like a tree at night.
Jim Kaufman, how was that decision made about how to light the tree?
So the way how we light the tree is we have both our decorators and our electricians. We use thousands of LED lights, and they're multicolor, and we are able to reuse those the same light strands each year. So that saves us some resources in that manner. Then it's a fairly simple setup that we do. So we actually run a pole up the middle of the tree that has a ring that allows us to run the wires in a set pattern right down to the ground. So they actually don't get intertwined within the tree itself. It's actually just on a cable that kind of goes down on the outside in a triangle type shape there. And certainly we can consider other ways to decorate it.
Well, Todd, you may want to volunteer to offer suggestions on how to light the Capitol tree. But thank you very much for your call. Also joining us in studio, Sonia Brown. Sonia Brown is an amateur decorator who has 9 Christmas trees in her Baltimore home. Sonia Brown, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
9?
Yes.
How did you get into Christmas trees? It's my understanding that each one of those 9 has a theme. How did you get so deep into Christmas trees?
As a child, we would rotate between our family's homes for Christmas. And the year that we would go to my great aunt's house in Lanham was my favorite because she would decorate her house so elaborately. It was magical, and it sparked a joy and love of Christmas when I was a very young girl. And 40 years later, that's what I'm doing.
Looking to get that joy every year. Let's talk about some of your trees this year. You created what you call the wedding dress tree.
Yes.
What does it look like, and what inspired?
So it was inspired by a trip to New York. We went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art to see the costume exhibit display, and there was a tree that just sparked joy in me, and it was beige, a champagne color. It had a lot of bling on it, and I looked at it, and I told my husband, this is going to be a Christmas tree this year. So I took ample pictures, came home, studied it, and proceeded to get ornaments and decor that would evoke the feel of a wedding dress.
Tell us about your candy tree.
The candy-coated Christmas tree is all red and white. It's on a green tree, and it has ornaments that are all candy. So you have lollipops and candied apples and gumball machines and spearmints. And it also has one of my favorite things are pictures of the children in my life, my 2 children and then my 4 godchildren, who are my sweeties. So they make it into a little red round frame on the tree.
You also have personalized a tree for your husband and your grown sons.
I did.
What's on that tree?
So that is a new tree this year. It's a gold tree. It's this beautiful gold with copper undertones, 7.5-foot tree. And when you have a gold tree, you have to be really particular about what you're putting on it because everything won't show. So I decided to do shades of navy blue, which feels more masculine. It was an homage to my sons and my husband. So it has all these beautiful blue ornaments on it, but to personalize it, I put ornaments that are representative of each one of them. So my older son just moved from Los Angeles back home to Baltimore. He decided to drive cross country, 2,600 miles, and I found an ornament, as luck would have it, that was the shape of the United States. It's an aluminum ornament, and I had a friend take it and put each mark for every city that he stopped in along the way and entitled it Marcus's Journey Home. So that evokes him. I have a little passport ornament because my younger son spent a semester abroad in Hong Kong 2 years ago, and that was his first time getting his passport, and then consequently my husband got his to go visit, and so that just represented the two of them. For my husband, who is a lover of bourbon, I have a little miniature bourbon bar of bottles that are on the tree. My oldest.
Make sure he spends a lot of time around
correct.
That tree.
There is a long-standing feud in my home about whether Sasquatch is really real. So I was able to find a little Sasquatch ornament that my son claims is really real. So it's on the tree. So there's all kinds of personal items on there that represent my 2 sons and my husband. It's fun.
So if now you're really curious about what Sonia's trees look like, you can go to our Twitter feed, @KojoShow, and you can see photos of those trees. So just go to our Twitter site, @KojoShow, and you can see photos of those trees. Jim, tell us about the Capitol Christmas trees decorations. We've talked about the lights.
Well, piggybacking on that conversation there, that reminds me of last year's Christmas tree from the Willamette National Forest in Oregon. And because the children and the community make the ornaments, Sasquatch is very big and alive out in Oregon at the Willamette National Forest, and there were quite a few Sasquatch ornaments on there. So this year, being from New Mexico, everybody puts their personal touches on there, and it really brings out the theme of the people of that area. So there's handmade little Pueblo houses and little villages, and then the Star of New Mexico and the flag of New Mexico. And then, of course, there's a touch of Roswell in there. So there's a lot of little UFOs around our tree this year. So it's really kind of neat.
Sonia, for the record, you are not a professional decorator.
I am not.
What's your day job?
By day, I'm vice president of marketing and business development for Grunley Construction Company in Rockville, Maryland.
And every year in December, you just go bananas.
Oh, no. It starts in September.
It starts in September.
There's no way to do that many trees if you start in December.
What's your advice to people who want to make their Christmas trees special and personal? Where should they start?
They should start with a theme, whether it's a color theme or it's a theme that's representative of something special to them. It could be a favorite song, a movie. One year I did a Great Gatsby tree themed after the movie came out. So whatever your theme is, that's where you should begin. Then after that, collecting your ornaments and staying true to that theme, I think, gives you the best results. I would encourage different shape ornaments. That really makes it feel customized. Often people will put all the same size round balls, which is nice, but it's not as diverse. So starting with larger balls, medium balls, small balls, do different shapes, onion shaped, finials, diamond shapes, teardrops. And just staying true to the theme and spreading out the ornaments so they all have a chance to shine.
In addition to your day job, you're doing this. When do you sleep? In January, presumably.
Pretty much. January 2nd is the day of rest.
Tony Falwell, Sonia's trees are artificial. Does that make them necessarily safer than live trees?
I would say yes, because I think they require less maintenance. Most artificial trees have flame rating status on them, so they're a little safer. Less maintenance, you don't have to water them, of course. So I would say I would choose an artificial tree over a live tree. But it's on individual preference.
But if they're close to heat sources, they could still...
Yes, okay. Yes. Anything close to a heat source, you got to remember, can burn. And that just makes it more important to say, hey, look, remember, while we're talking about these trees and fire period, working smoke detectors in the home, very key.
John Carroll, you say you understand why a person might buy a tree close to home rather than drive out to a farm, but what do farms offer that a big box store or Christmas tree lot doesn't?
Well, farms offer a lot of things like Santa, hay rides through the fields. Some of them have play areas for children and children's story time, hot cider, and bonfires and things like that. A lot of the tree lots and box stores don't offer that just because of time and space. So children get a chance to run as much as they want to. People get to bring their pets and get to spend time with them, and they may not be able to do that in a store setting. So there's a lot to do on the farm. We have a lot of people that come out and spend almost the entire day looking for their tree, taking a hayride, enjoying a picnic, and some time with Santa.
It's a whole family excursion. Lisa in Taverna Park has some advice. Lisa, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. We don't have a lot of time left.
Hi. I just wanted to say I am a big fan of going to cut down a tree. That's been the tradition in my family. And I make a plea to all the tree growers out there not to cut the sides of the tree up in a conical shape, because to me the beauty of buying your tree out in a field is when you have the natural shape of the tree and the branches stick out, and it provides so much more depth to be able to have the spaces between the branches so the ornaments can go in and out of the tree. It's so much more beautiful. And then my second comment is when you get a fresh tree, very easy to set up a siphon for the water, so you can see the level of the water and that the tree is drinking water. And we have a clear container, a clear plastic container, and a plastic tube feeding into the tree stand. Okay. And then, you know, I mark it the maximum and the minimum of where the water level should be. And so our tree never runs out of water. We like keep it up till February.
And our fire marshal and deputy fire chief, Tony Fall, is nodding. Yes, yes. Good advice. Thank you very much. Before we go, Jim, have you picked out your Christmas tree this year?
I have.
You've got it already?
We have it picked out.
Ooh, how about you, Tony Fall?
Yes, my wife, she was doing it last night. Yeah.
John Carroll, have you picked out your Christmas tree yet?
Oh, absolutely. It'll be probably one that's left at the end of the season and needs a home. So that's what we usually do. That's a great way to end the season.
Once again, if you want to see photos of Sonia Brown's trees, you can go to our Twitter feed at Kojo Show and find them there. And now that you know how to buy, decorate, and fireproof a Christmas tree, you should also know how to recycle it. Go to kojoshow.org and click on this segment to find out how you can recycle your life tree based on where you live. And if you need even more of a Christmas tree fix, the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony kicks off on the Ellipse at 4:30 this afternoon. So Sonia Brown, Jim Kaufman, Tony Falwell, and John Carroll, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Going to take a short break. When we come back, the future of local breweries, cideries, and distilleries. I'm Kojo Nandi.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.